Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
B-Pod Studios.
Make it your homepage.
A connection.
985thesportshub.com. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Rozier spins away from Sexton, keeping the handle, spinning it out to the corner. Hayward makes the extra pass. Tatum spins around, throws out towards Marcus Smart. He's going to attack the paint, shovel to the left corner for a Terry Rozier three.
Wow. It was a lot of stuff in that cake. Eggs, bacon, sausage.
A lot of passes on that possession. Celtics by 14. Tatum jumps the passing lane, off to the races, right-hand slam. This is what happens when the worst team in the NBA starts to look like it.
A little slam-a-jam, a little razzle-dazzle happening there.
I think there was a play last night, Fred, where they passed the ball 11 times.
Who's your style?
It was. Yeah, well, wasn't that five? Wasn't that the requirement?
Five, yeah, passes.
Four. No, it was four. Four passes
or
okay.
Hoosiers. Okay. Four. I go five.
Okay.
That's just the way I roll.
Why not?
Okay. All right. Joining us here on the telephone is Chris Forsberg. He covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Forsberg.
What's up, guys? It's nice to bring some class and respectability to your normal 9 o'clock guest on this hour.
Yes, which would usually be Danny Ainge. So you better live up to the hype. Say something controversial about LeBron James and Donald Trump.
Yeah, what's funny, you guys should know this, is like this block is typically like appointment listening for all the Celtics reporters, and I just imagine them all turning on their radios this morning hoping to glean some news or get some insight from Danny and hear my voice and are terribly, terribly disappointed.
Well, that's usually what happens when people listen to the show. So, okay, so finally an ass-kicking against a bad team, and we've been waiting for this for a long time. I said this the other day, like, it almost would mean more to me that they just destroyed a bad team for once than hanging with the Golden State Warriors on Saturday. Do you think that they finally have that, I guess, that kill gene in their DNA where you need to actually be up for games that you're supposed to destroy a team?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, part of me says if they had all their guys healthy last night and out there, they probably would have struggled for no apparent reason, and it would have been more difficult than it needed to be. Listen, I'm sitting there watching that game last night, and all I'm thinking is, Warriors in 2 days, Warriors in 2 days. It's like, it's hard to get through those games, so give them credit, because it was close early, and even though Terry Rozier was going off, the Cavs hung in there a little bit, but ultimately, that Cavs defense is just terrible, and it was good to see the Celtics sort of motor away for a change, a rare Geno time at the Garden. So that's all good. But as much as I sort of slap my head when I hear people talk about trap games, certainly that was one of those situations where it could have happened.
All right. So there's a lot of talk about the Celtics potentially trading, making a trade before the trade deadline. And, even last night with Rozier, people were saying, well, this is good because it looks like we've got a little showcase for Terry Rozier out there, and he's looking like, he's a very valuable player. What are you hearing, and do you believe that they need to make a trade before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I just think it's so unlikely that they're going to make a deal for two reasons. One, I just don't think you're going to get value on what you'd be willing to move at this point. Could they trade Terry Rozier? Sure, but, his value isn't where it was coming off the playoffs last season, and I think he's just really valuable to this team, and you just never know what's going to happen with the roster and with injuries, and it's good to have a backup like that you can throw in there. And Jaylen Brown, same situation. He's playing better, but not only would you not want to sell low now because I don't know if it improves your team this season, but ultimately I do think you have to hold on to every asset you have for the summer, because whether it's Anthony Davis or anybody that becomes available, you have to be stocked to make that pursuit. And you got some help this week now with that Grizzly pick. If the Grizzlies go into rebuild mode, suddenly that pick is a lot more attractive. You won't get it this season most likely, and all of a sudden it's going to be a lot more valuable to a team moving forward, and you can dangle it as part of a package. I just think you've seen, like, listen, they can compete with anybody when they play well this season. I think it's okay to ride it out with what you've got. Maybe you look at the scrap heap after the buyout market and see if you can add some depth that way. But I just don't know if there's a move out there that makes an awful lot of sense. And that's not to say that Danny won't be looking. It's just I think it's really hard to envision a scenario where they find a deal that helps them now and down the road.
Brad Stevens said after the game, the team's not playing their best ball, and that's fine because the goal is to have them play their best ball at the end of the season. And we had Brian Scalabrine in here last week, and we asked him flat out, is this team playing their best, able to beat Toronto in a 7-game series? And he wasn't sure. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, like, I think they can. I mean, it's certainly more difficult when you think about their recent history going to Toronto. It's daunting. Not to be morbid, but like Oladipo goes down last night and sort of Celtics fans are selfishly thinking, all right, well, you know, there's a chance to climb in the standings a little bit. I think we all think they're going to get up past Philadelphia at some point. So, you know, but even as the third seed, you're looking at the potential they have to go on the road twice. And so, you know, second round having to go to Toronto, that's daunting. And admittedly so. That being said, you know, just as Brad has alluded to, I don't think that we've seen the best of the Celtics. We've seen Kyrie play at a ridiculous level. We've seen good stretches from starters and good stretches from the bench, but we really haven't seen it all come together. Will it happen? And if it does at the right time, do you have the potential to hang with anybody in the East? Absolutely. But certainly the Toronto and how they've changed with Kawhi, that's a daunting, daunting series. And it does make it a little bit more, you know, I'm not a big standings guy. Like, I don't put too much stock when people are talking about the standings in November and December. But, you know, I'll admit I'm looking at there now, and Kyrie said it in Orlando. Like, he's not comfortable being in the fifth spot. I don't think he's comfortable being fourth. I think they want a surge here, and that's why it's important that they start playing some better basketball to just sort of make that path a little easier.
I saw you say something on NBC Sports Boston the other day where it was, I think the question was brought up, is this an ideal time for the Celtics to play the Golden State Warriors? And your answer was, I don't think it's ever a good time to play the Golden State Warriors the way they're playing right now. Can you kind of put in perspective, because there's a lot of people who've been, you know, haven't been watching every game they've been doing, but they've been unbelievable the past, like, on a nice little streak. And Cousins is back too, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Like, during the first part of the year, they were very Celtic-like. They were sort of up and down. You felt like they were just sort of going through the motions. And listen, they're good enough. They can do that. But I remember looking up at one point and seeing them at, like, fifth or sixth in the West. And I was like, what's going on? Like, you know, and of course everyone jumps on and says, oh, are they vulnerable? And we start that whole narrative. And clearly it's not, because they're just supremely talented. And Steph and Durant are still playing at a crazy level, even though Draymond hasn't really played well for long stretches this season. But now getting DeMarcus back, it seems it feels like they're sort of invigorated by it. They've won, I think, 8 in a row now going into tonight's game in Washington. You could have two teams with some serious momentum. It's not the ideal time for the Celtics to be catching the Warriors in sort of a big matchup, and we'll see if they get all the guys out there. Like, I don't know what they're doing with DeMarcus in terms of finding some rest for him as he comes back from this Achilles thing, but, you know, listen, the Celtics clearly downshifted a little bit last night and made sure they got Al and Kyrie out there on Saturday, so this is a big one. As much as, you know, people try to downplay these sort of matchups, like, this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really interesting to see where the Celtics stand.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that they always play, you know, these Brad Stevens teams always play the Warriors hard. I mean, and they've had a little bit of success against them. It's going to be wild, because we know that at big games, the Celtics are always up for it. And Kyrie Irving, you know what he does in the fourth quarter. I have a feeling that he's going to try to be that guy for maybe at least two or three quarters, which is just an assassin when he wants to be. How do you think that this team is going to fare on Saturday night?
Yeah, so the thing for me was, what the most disappointing aspect of last season when they lost Game 7 to the Cavaliers, like, I didn't think they were going to go on and win the finals, but I just wanted to see where they stood. And now, obviously, without Kyrie, without Gordon, it would have been hard to gauge exactly where they were in relation to the Warriors. But I just wanted to know what the gap was. Like, okay, can they compete with the Warriors? Because they've always matched up well, and they've always played them well in the regular season. And, you know, even Terry Rozier came out after last season, and I think he was on ESPN one day, and he said, we match up better than the Cavaliers did. We would have played them hotter than obviously them getting swept. So, yeah, like, I mean, this is what's going to be fun about Saturday night. We're going to find out sort of a litmus test, measuring stick, whatever you want to call it. Where do the Celtics rank? And just like you said, like, I feel like they always play up when they play a top-level competition. I expect their best effort out there. Kyrie always seems to be especially pumped when there's a really good point guard on the other side. Think back to that game last year at Oracle. Him and Steph were just absolutely ridiculous. It has the potential to be a really, really fun regular season matchup. And I do expect that the Celtics will get a good gauge here of where they stand. And I think the best part is that for all the ups and downs, like, I don't know if they'll win, but if they go out there and they're competitive against the Warriors, if they do win this game, I think it's just like fans will sort of like take a deep breath. Okay, despite the losses to Phoenix and Orlando and all those terrible losses, like, they have proven they can hang with those elite teams, and that's a really good sign as they sort of move forward.
Bench is always important in a game like that against a team like that. Golden State's so deep, and the Celtics, if they're fully healthy, have a pretty deep bench as well. And Terry Rozier shows up in games like this and is important. And watching him last night, I'm reminded again of the question I try to ask everybody. How good is Terry Rozier really? And will he succeed like this when he's given the keys to the car on another team, as he will be next year?
Yeah, like, I think he'll be successful. I mean, it certainly helps when, you know, as much as we make a big deal about, oh, he's playing better as a starter because it's easier in terms of you're not pressing as hard, or you can go sort of let the game come to you. I mean, it also helps that he's got a lot of talent around him. When you can go out there and you're playing with Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart, no disrespect, but the Celtics bench has been so inconsistent. I just think that plays into some of Terry's struggles and really all those bench guys as well. I don't know necessarily if you drop Terry Rozier on the Phoenix Suns, if he goes out and does what he does every night, because there's going to be a lot more attention on him in that instance. And I think it's a little bit harder to put up those sort of stat lines. But certainly he's proven that he has the potential to be an NBA starter. And, I think the Celtics are hopefully can just figure out how to be that sort of impactful coming off the bench and can do that more consistently. You know, for whatever reason, all those bench guys have sort of it's defied them at times. So, I mean, that might ultimately be the key to the whole Celtics season. Is like, I feel like the starter group, or at least Kyrie and Al, you know what you're going to get. But do we know what we're going to get from guys like Terry and Jaylen on a night-to-night basis, and even Jason Tatum? So, ultimately that will dictate how far this team goes.
Okay, not much from Tatum, I can tell you that.
Fred's got to think of his Tatum, which is interesting. But finally, as far as now, I remember Steven Adams to Draymond Green. There was Paul Pierce to Chris Bosh. But last night, with Aaron Baines, where do you rank the pain level of shots to the nuts that he had? Because, I mean, that dude just stopped, bent over, and couldn't move, and let the entire play on the other end just like, you guys take care of it. And I don't know, when they went to commercial break, how long he stayed out there in that court.
Some of us pay for that, you know.
Where does that rank on your most painful nut shots that you have seen covering the NBA?
You know, initially I didn't think it was that bad. But then when you figure that Aaron Baines broke his hand during a game and played like seven more possessions until he finally realized, like, oh, there's an issue here. I should probably go get this looked at. And even then, the trainer had to like fight to get him to the back. Think about how much pain it would take for that man to have to be doubled over on the ground. And then, like you said, when they went to break, he actually went to the bench, and he was still just like out of it for a minute or two. That Colin Sexton got him. It must have been a direct hit. We don't wish that upon anyone. But oh man, that's up there in terms of tough shots to the under.
Yeah. Balls.
Yeah, he got him. He got him in all of Australia.
All of Australia.
Oh, I forgot about Manu Ginobili. That dude had his testicles ruptured. Remember, he got kicked in the nuts so hard that he was out for a month.
Well, now this conversation got uncomfortable in a hurry.
I had a fraternity brother who played lacrosse without a cup one day, and he
paid for that.
He had one ball that was a lemon.
No.
Oh, so that was who was the third baseman who got nailed?
Adrian Beltre.
Adrian Beltre. Yep,
he had
that's
one
right.
ball the size of a lemon, and I'll tell you what, we all wanted to see it.
Not good.
I'll tell you, I got nothing to hide. Chris Foldersberg from NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Danny Ainge doesn't talk balls with you guys.
I would have asked him. I would have asked him.
Oh, sure.
Danny Ainge is aware of the male anatomy. All right. Thank you, Chris.
See you, man.
You're no Ainge. Okay, thank you. All right. So we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Real quick, so I got this dog a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm. The killer dog, yeah.
It's a, my mom said if it's part pit bull, you'll know in a year.
Well, I thought it was two. You had to wait two? It's only one?
I don't know if it was one or two, but she's like, yeah, you know, I was talking to someone and you know if they're going to be like real violent when they turn two. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Mom.
What?
That makes
so a killer may be in the house, but you have to wait.
Yeah, because it obviously probably has pit bull in it.
Sure.
Do you know that we have to schedule like dogs coming over to our house to play with our dog?
Why? Really?
Because the dog, we have a backyard that's fenced in, but the dog will just sit there and it gets like super hyper and needy.
Is there a dog park near you?
There is, but I mean, sometimes you don't. You know, you don't have time to go to the dog park. So.
Or it's 6 degrees outside.
Yeah. And then we pay a ridiculous amount of money twice a week to have the dog picked up and taken to a place where they're allowed to play.
Mm-hmm.
We do. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. We have a woman who comes and walks our dog. We do.
See, the walking thing is probably reasonable.
Yeah. It is.
Scheduling crap for a dog is ridiculous. Yeah. It's such a pain in the ass.
I know somebody who just threw a birthday party for the dog.
Oh, that's what they're in.
And they invited a bunch of people with dogs. It was a dog party.
Yeah, but my dog doesn't fart to rap songs, so.
Well, you know, I told you yesterday when my dog farted, it sounded exactly like the first note of Brass Monkey. I had somebody yesterday say, you think that's bad? My dog just farted, and it was the exact first note of Limp Bizkit's Nookie.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about that. All right, so what are these over-unders?
All right, real quick, by the way, they just announced the rally that they're going
to
be having.
Oh, yeah, baby, go to that thing.
Patriots rally, the send-over.
Yeah, go stand in a cold stadium.
They say this is going to be this Sunday at gates open at 8 a.m. Program begins at 10 a.m. at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Inside the stadium, not outside.
Go watch football players not play
inside,
football.
Yeah. Inside the stadium.
It's not at the hall at Patriots Place. They're going to let people actually in there.
Yep.
They say the rally will feature live music and entertainment, a cheerleader dance performance, and giveaways for fans.
You can go and, at a very long distance from the players, watch them not play football.
Killjoy. Ruins people's fun.
Come on.
People are leaving
for
the Super Bowl.
These people need to be there or the Patriots aren't going to play well. All right? They need to inspire them. Yeah. You hear them say that they're doing it for the fans.
Okay.
Come on, Fred.
Hello, Gillette Stadium!
I don't care if your kid wants to go. There's nothing. Nothing that would make me go there.
If it was near me, I'd bring my kid.
Why?
If it was near me, I'd bring my kid. Because it's cool.
If it was in my backyard, I'd look out the window. Like, with pucks and paddles, like, you're around the guys. Uh-huh. Sure. You can talk to them.
Sure.
You're not at some stupid stadium staring at guys not doing what you like them doing.
Maybe you wait for a potential Super Bowl parade if it happens. Maybe.
I can see even going to the parade.
Yeah,
I see that.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
I mean, some of us ride in the dog boats.
Maybe, yes. Not this one, of course.
No, I don't want to.
So on the stage will be Bill Belichick and co-captains Tom Brady, David Andrews, Patrick Chung, Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater, and James White.
Who's hosting this thing, Rich?
Okay, well, hosting it is going to be, it says Scott Zolak and Bob Soucy, yet it doesn't mention anybody else. There is I was looking and
I've taken four lemons and create electricity that can light this LED light.
And I looked and I said, I didn't see a certain person's name.
But for me, like chocolate and thick.
No Wiggy.
Oh, man.
Which, last year, he did. They hate us because they jellyfish us, which was, of course, fantastic. You have to get him up there.
Can you imagine driving down to Gillette Stadium? To watch those guys on stage.
Parking's going to be easier. Look at it that way.
You should take away everyone's driver's license that goes there. because they're not suitable. They're a danger to everyone.
They hate us because they want to be us.
I understand the parade.
Because they hate us.
The parade's a big deal. You take your kids out of school.
Because they jealous of us.
Okay. Chances that Wiggy somehow gets on stage anyway.
50-50.
Yeah, that's 50-50. I would take. I would say I'd take the over on that. I'd say yes. He's going to take that. He's going to be on stage somehow.
50-50.
Despite the fact that he's not in the press release, he's going to find a way to get up there. Because he's done it like the last like three times, right?
I don't know.
I would do an appearance there for $5,000.
Okay.
I swear to God, if they offered me $2,000, I wouldn't go.
Five is to get in price?
Five is the number?
Okay.
Someone said, I grew up 2 miles from Gillette Stadium. No way in hell I would go. Or would my dad take me to watch that? That's what somebody said.
2 miles too far.
Yep.
Like if I lived.
If you walk to it, could you do it? Would you do it?
How far a walk?
You know, half mile.
No.
If you would walk a half mile?
No. I don't think I'm being a killjoy. I just, why would I want to look at that?
Well, I mean, you know, for me, a grown man, no. But if I had a kid, yes.
Okay, so the kid gets to see from a great distance them on a stage not playing football.
Sure. But
now what would be, how would that not be excruciatingly boring?
Because you get to see them go, we're doing this because of you.
Well,
your
kids have an attention that mine do not. My kids would want to leave there immediately.
All right. Well, in the other room, our other members of the show, Mr. Dan O'Brien, Bird, Mike Lockhart, and Nick have come up with prop bets on our broadcast that we're going to be having next week.
All right.
And I'm interested to hear this because I've seen one
it's
or two.
It's your whole week in Atlanta. It's not necessarily just the broadcast.
It's our whole week in Atlanta? All right. Well, let's see what we got. What do we have? Is Nick going to be here and presenting
Nick
it?
Nick has been diligently going over a list.
All right. No, Nick, you can read it. You're the best reader of all of us.
Yeah, Nick is going
to. Use your words, Nicholas.
Nicholas. Nick, oh, you learned to read finally. Oh, I remember when you read the first book in ninth grade.
Just don't let it get in your head. All right?
Okay.
While you're reading this, don't let it get in your head.
You're so nervous like an idiot.
Don't think we're all listening and intently listening to everything.
All right, Nick, I'm going to take you to the big rolling rally.
Oh, look at this list. It's a long list.
It is. I'm going to
too long, it's
going to
get boring.
Chances of Fred being late for the show is 1.5.
Being late
like 1.5 times? Like out of the 5 days?
No. Like one of the days.
So that would be 0.5.
Yeah.
What the hell does that even mean?
Out of five. Five shows you'll be late for. Over-under of you being late is 1.5.
Fred's never late for these shows.
Never.
We all come together.
Okay.
Correct.
Right. This might be different, but I won't be late.
You're going to get more banged up on this trip than any other trip.
Right. But you're actually on our way. Rich and I are staying at the same post. You're on
our
way
over. I'm not going to stay out late, though.
Okay.
But you passed me to get there.
Yes, correct. Okay, we'll come and get you.
Believe me, I made it to stupid Arizona at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you were trapped in the hotel with us.
No, this is going to be... I get to hear, and we're in stupid Dorchester.
Now, will he sound like he did with Boomer Esiason?
That's right.
When we're in
Phoenix. That's the other one.
You realize that there's quite often I've gone out the night before the show here.
Yes.
And it's the same time, and I'm closer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could leave my hotel at 9:45 and get there. So, I'm not going to be late to a broadcast.
Okay, well, how about the amount of times of you showing up hungover?
I think there's a chance of many of us showing up a little hungover the next day.
You know how many shows I was hungover at every Super Bowl? All of them.
Yeah, I'm going out every night, too. So
we would go out, and I'd be hungover.
But that's what champs do. They come in, and they put on greatness on the air after being hungover.
Unless you're in the Eastern time zone, we're on the air at... The way I talked to Boomer, we were in stupid Phoenix. That we went on the air at 4.
Yeah, Fred didn't look great.
I don't care. We went on the air at 4.
That was the best. When Boomer sat down, and just started laughing at you.
Yeah. Because we were all up at 2:30 in the morning to get there
I'm not apologizing for
Boomer's already run a half marathon by that point.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Well, he's got handlers and everything else.
He's recording been put stuff. On. I know. He's on that high riser.
I have not been late to work in
a long time.
Over 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can make it here in time,
okay,
I'm making it.
So that's an under, definitely.
But hungover, I'll be relatively hungover every day.
Yeah, over under is 4.5.
I'm going to go to bed at a reasonable hour, and all my friends that I'm going to meet
You've already alerted them that you're
like,
home
yeah,
early.
We're going out like in the afternoon.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Well, all these are related to you, unfortunately. will Fred end up at the Claremont?
I'm not going to go.
Fred's not going to Claremont. I'm going to go to Claremont.
No.
Can I break in here for a second? Yes. These are all Nick's. We just want to make sure that us in the control room have nothing to do with this. Is Nick's list.
Okay. You have your own list.
Well, we haven't completely yet because okay. We didn't know it was
going
to
I'm not going to a strip club while I'm there.
Okay.
It's going to be amateur hour.
Nick, what was the name of the place again? Oh, he doesn't have headphones.
Yeah, headphones.
What's the name? He said, what's the name of the place that we'll be going to?
Claremont.
No, Claremont. But that's all right. He doesn't. Claremont. I mean, right.
No, I'm not going to go there.
All right.
The bloom is off the rose.
Why, do you have some?
Oh, Jesus, Nick, this sucks. All right, make with the question. Make with the question.
Give me the list. Let me see what you got.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Am I going to be hungover? Yeah.
Will Rich find Elephantitis Man? I will look for him.
Okay.
Will TNR get to interview Guy Fieri? We never get to, even though he's around. Will TNR spark a friendship with Guy Fieri after said interview and all hang out together? If he did, yes, I guarantee you
we would like him.
We would like him. Will Rich get high in Atlanta? No. I'm looking for the right time to do that. And I don't get high anyway. Fred's cat will get sick. Will Fred's cat get sick and he'll need to leave Atlanta? That's actually a pretty good one. Over and under times, Wallach wears a hoodie from a team that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, I have at least two that I'm bringing. So I'm thinking the over under should be 2.5.
Yeah.
Over under on interviews with stuffy media personalities. I'm going to set that at about 4 or 5.
We're using the word stuffy? We're using that adjective?
I guess so. The number of times Wallach will say, like I said, 500 is the over under on this sheet right here.
Under, but not by much.
The over-under on arguments with other radio stations, such as the Atlanta one, the Kansas City one, or the Chicago one.
Well, the Chicago one's not going to happen because I talked to the guy, and then
1.5 over-under.
And then I'm not sticking around for the Kansas City show.
Kamla's going to be on.
Kamla's on right after
us.
I would invite Kamla on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
Chances are Kamla won't do it, but if he does, it's going to be fantastic. And I will really try to get Cam on.
And Fesco's on the exact same time as us, correct?
1 hour behind.
I don't
because
think he's
Kansas
going.
City. Oh, he's got to go. You know, I think Kansas City probably already planned on going just in case. Because that's what we plan in advance. Right. And finally, he has the chances of Fred actually making it to the steak dinner with the other shows.
I'll make it. I don't know if I'll stay.
I know.
That was great.
You checked out pretty early in the last one.
Get me an Uber and get me the hell out of here.
We went to the one in Minneapolis, and it was maybe, 30 minutes into it?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. No, he sat down and said he was leaving. I was sitting next to him.
I think right when he showed up, he said, I'm not going to last long.
It got to, because I'd been drinking, and I was super, super tired.
Yep, I remember.
And there's a point, at the time, 43-year-old man, where you realize, nothing good is going to come of this.
Nope. And because all the bosses were there, and you're like, only bad things can happen from here on out. So,
chances are nothing's going
to
happen.
You made it through the appetizer. I don't think you made it to the main meal.
Fred, did you notice that we purposely sat way on the other end of the tables where our bosses were?
Yeah.
That was done not by accident.
No,
you mix. Mix alcohol with going on the air at 5 a.m. That is not a.
I remember that.
That is not. That's dead-eyed Fred.
That's right.
Mary's I know
where's,
exactly
where's
how
Fred?
I look. I look like I'm in a million Xanax. I know that look.
Yep, we were way at the end of the table. I remember that.
Yep. So good. Well, you can. Yeah, I'm going to go out every day. There's no question about it. Now, am I going to get blacked out drunk? No. But I am going to go out every day. That is a fact.
I'll take you to the Claremont.
I'm in.
All right.
I'd like
to
do it once.
I told John yesterday that I'll take you out whenever you want.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I've heard a lot about the place. I would mind going.
I'm saving Thursday night for going out with show people. Like all the other shows.
I think my parents are coming down.
Thursday night? Okay.
So Thursday night, that's good. But I might show up to that thing a little tipsy.
Okay.
Because I have 4 friends and I'm going to see each of them
one night.
And one of them I'm going to see probably every day.
Okay.
So oof. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to enjoy this MF-er.
Sure.
I'd
like to see a happy Fred at one of these. That'd be nice.
Oh, Indianapolis, I was happy. Eastern time. I was happy in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis was great.
I had a great time.
No, Fred, there was no complaints.
I had no complaints about
it. No, there was one night, and this will be a real quick story. There was one night, I don't know if you guys remember it. We all went out to dinner, and we were walking back to your hotel, and Fred asked me something, and when I didn't know the answer, just lost control and was screaming at me. Do you remember this?
Not at all.
And, yeah, he lost control.
It.
He was screaming at me.
Doesn't mean
reality,
I was in a bad mood.
He was wrong.
Doesn't mean I was in a bad mood.
Sounds like our show.
Yeah. Just annoying.
It turned out that, so it said,
well, Wallach and Fred take an Uber that isn't really an Uber, and pray the guy doesn't kidnap them.
All right. That was fun.
I don't care what you said.
Houston was fine, but we had to get on the air at 5.
Right.
Phoenix was a disaster.
Yep.
Minnesota was just, we were at a mall all day.
And it was cold as hell.
And it was 5, and we went on at 5 in the morning. Fifth Avenue wasn't open.
I was pissed about
it. I know. I am enjoying this. Okay. I'm going to enjoy myself.
It'll be great.
Good.
Because this is the last one we're ever going to have to go to. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what do we have here?
Well, Kevin Garnett remains the greatest. He was on a radio show and was being interviewed about his first interactions with Austin Ainge. And Austin was Doc Rivers' son, and I think when Kevin Garnett
Austin Rivers.
And I think Austin Rivers was a sophomore in high school when KG first joined the team. I think he was in middle of his high school years. So this story right here picks up right about the time where Austin was a senior in high school. He was a very good basketball player. Used to show up to the practices where, of course, his dad was the coach and challenge the players one-on-one. And there was one day after he'd beat Kendrick Perkins that Austin Rivers got a little cocky and thought he would challenge Kevin Garnett.
Man, he giving Perk the business.
Austin Rivers.
Yeah, got him. I come in here, so I'm like, you know, he's playing guys to five. I think he beat Perk 5-0 and, you know, came in from the weight room and he rolled the ball and I said, what? And I looked at it, hit my toes. I said, what? He said, check. I said, check.
Yeah, Dad. Everybody like, ooh.
And then, you know, I'm a dragon, bro. And I know your dad, the coach, so I got to be real careful how I let this dragon out. This a kid. This is a high school kid. Got a lot of confidence, but I'm a dragon. He just rolled the ball to me. So calm and collective. I just, you know, kicked the ball to him. I walked back. He says, check. Now, I went on the other side of the check. You know, when you check, you're on the bottom. So I got on the top. I said, you don't get the ball first.
Yeah, he was on him.
So I turned around and gave him the ball. And my shoes was untied. And he shot the first one. Matter of fact, he made it.
He made it.
Boom. I said, hold on.
Off the crossover.
I saw off the over. Matter of fact, he dunked it. Remember, he dunked it? And the ball went all in. And I went like this. I said, hold on. And I tied my shoe, and I heard P say, yeah. I heard him and T.A. say, yeah, tie them shoes, killer.
Tie them shoes.
And that's when the dragon came out. And I mopped him 5-1.
Five-one.
I had to go dragon. He had so much swag that I was like, man, do I spit fire on him? When I saw how hard he dunked it, this kid's serious. Let me tie these up. I tied up, and I went 5 straight. But I tapped him, keep working on your game. He was hot. Threw the ball. Man, wants a scrap. He was hot. Dad threw him out. Get out. Go get him. Go work on your game. That's why you got mopped up. Let's start practice. Listen.
That's when I knew, man. This man is not losing to nobody.
That's when I knew right there. Austin Rivers is going to be in our league about 2 years.
Yeah, he said that.
I said, he's going to be in our league about two years.
He said that. He's a pro.
He hated losing. He wanted to fight. I said, boy, you don't get out of here. Boy, I was a dragon.
I understood a good 3/4 of that.
Oh, all I know is that Austin Rivers rolls the ball and says, I'll take you out. And Kevin Garnett's like, you're kidding me, right? And then finally, while he's tying his shoes, Austin Rivers gets a cheap dunk on him. He goes, okay. And then he just destroys him and mops the floor with him because he's a dragon, man. I'm a dragon.
Did Austin Rivers go to Duke?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, didn't finish school. Left early.
Should have gotten his education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Probably. You know what? He has had a fairly, by the amount of money he's made, successful NBA career. Take a look at how much money he has made in this league. It's shocking. It's shocking for being a mediocre NBA talent.
Yeah.
He also stuck around for a while. How many years has he been in the league now?
He's been around longer than you would guess.
7 or 8 years maybe? And I think he's made a decent amount of money.
Austin Rivers. Yeah. My goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is his 7th year.
Okay.
And he has made, this according to basketballreference.com, he's made almost $33 million.
I mean, that's insane. That's insane. I don't know if that's Brian Scalabrine money, but it's
no,
insane.
No, it's not just Scal's.
Scal got that four-year, $16 million deal, right?
Oh, yeah. Celtics made sure he was going to be around a while.
Well, of course. All right. Well, you know the whole backstory behind this song. Weezer's version of Africa. According to legend, it was a young girl who kept writing letters to the members of Weezer saying, will you please do a cover of Africa? And all of a sudden it became an internet sensation of people begging Weezer to do it. As a joke, they released a Toto song, but it was Roseanne. And then immediately afterwards, they came out with this. And it ended up being their biggest hit. Like, right now, it's bigger than Buddy Holly. It's bigger than the ones that made them famous, Island in the Sun. Africa became their biggest hit. And so what do you think they just did as of this morning? They sprung on the world a covers album called The Teal Album. A surprise album was dropped of all covers. They have a real album coming out in like 3 weeks. But they threw this one out there, didn't announce it to anybody, where they cover such bands as TLC. It's not bad. Michael Jackson. That one's not as good. She's just a girl who claims that I am the one. And Black Sabbath. Not bad.
Yeah, they're playing songs. I could go to a bar and see bands do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you could.
Yeah, Dan just told me they should put out a kids' pop album. Just covering songs.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly how they're written. I mean, I could go. Let's go.
Scrubs is different. That's different. They changed it up.
Oh, great. It's really funny.
Frank's got a point, though.
Now, Sabbath sounds just like, listen, do you blame them for a second? Hell no. You got the most money than you've had in a long time.
Well, beating
your
career
has been resurrected.
Well,
yeah, but that was
like,
organic.
He's captain, like, I wouldn't play Pinkerton because it's too emotional.
Now. They do now.
I know, but he'd spent 10 years not doing it.
And then he realized he sounded like a jackass. And he's even done interviews where he's like, I was an idiot.
Yeah, well, he was an idiot for 10 years. And then he quit the band to go to Harvard. I mean, this is supposed to be like this really interesting, eccentric guy.
Why is that bad that he quit the band to go to Harvard?
Because now he's put out, it's not. It's because it's completely anti this whole covers situation.
Well, they've...
Fred, we had the education. They suck anyway.
Blue album, green album, still classics.
I got my hash pipe.
You take the first three songs off the blue album, back to like all three in a row, it's one of the best 1-2-3 punches that an album could have.
Rich, you will admit this whole teal album thing is not good. I mean, it was an organic way, the way the Africa cover
I haven't
came
been
to
a,
be.
I haven't been a big fan of Weezer's.
When you force it on someone, it's different.
I haven't been a big fan of Weezer's music for several years now. Like, I mean, it's kind of like that skit with Matt Damon. It's kind of true. I mean, the first several albums are very good. I'm not even a fan of Pinkerton, but there's some that are great. However, I get why they did it, because now they're making a ton of money.
They're not
going to
make any money on this album.
No, they're not. They didn't even market it. They just released it.
No, but they won't make any money.
Well, their real album comes out in 2 weeks. So I think that one of the reasons that they did this was a marketing ploy to get you to know that their real album comes out in 2 weeks.
Captain Sensitive, fell in love with a girl at Harvard and wrote Pinkerton and then wouldn't play it.
Well, Pinkerton came out before Harvard.
No, he fell in love with a girl.
Pinkerton came out right after the Blue Album, and it was a failure.
No, but
and then they went away for a while. He went to Harvard, then the Green Album.
By the way, Pinkerton wasn't a failure.
Pinkerton was a commercial failure.
It was not a commercial failure. It did not do as well as Rivers Cuomo wanted it to do. If he was more upset with the reviews of it.
What was their hit off Pinkerton?
Triangle.
That wasn't a hit.
No, I know.
What I know El Scorcho was their single, but that wasn't a hit.
El Scorcho was a hit on alternative radio. Yeah, oh, absolutely it was. Alternative radio plays four songs. You don't think they played Weezer?
El Scorcho was not a hit. It was a single.
Anyway, you'd be surprised how many records it sold. Because the way Rivers Cuomo tells it, it sounds like it was like four people bought it. I mean, it didn't sell nearly as well as the other album.
I think Pinkerton's one of those albums that got bigger as the years went on. Like, it kind of became one of those things.
Yes.
It was like a cult album.
Yes.
When it first came out, though, it was almost like Paul's Boutique. It was a failure.
Yeah, not quite like to the level of Paul's Boutique. I just read about it.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Scott Solak. Hello, sir. What's going on?
What's up?
Did you really not know you were going to be hosting that rally?
It always comes together.
You know? So nobody told you.
No.
When are you flying out?
Sunday.
He leaves with the team from the rally, correct?
Oh, so you fly with the team out there.
Yeah.
But not back.
Wrap it up. Wrap the buses, get the helicopters out and all that. Little jaunt down there. Yeah.
You running a helicopter?
No, they have helicopters that fly next to the bus, like right down.
Really?
Just in case somebody attacks the bus from the skies. It's a wise investment.
Yeah.
I never really got that one. Yeah. Helicopter escort.
Plus the police escort for no reason. I mean, you could be late.
Well, we do need that.
I think that might just be a TV station following you guys in the helicopter. Maybe.
I'm a nice man.
What's that?
Maybe it's a TV station following you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, probably, no. It's definitely state police, but there will be regular ones. Yeah, the news stations will put them out there.
Last year, there were guys with, like, machine guns.
They should put Steve Cooper in one, have him jump out.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline MA.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball. Terms.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online marijuana wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.